are seeing Pleasant Lake Baptist Church. They've graduated to their own local church, run by them, of course, under the Lord. Then we said the universe, or a local church, is defined as an organized band of baptized believers having a pastor. Again, there's this big house church movement. We talked a little bit about that, there are a lot of people who just say, well, I'm going to go to church at home. Is there anything wrong with worshiping God at home? Is there everything right with worshiping God at home? Well, definitely, but if we're going to call it a local church, we need to have some organization, don't we? Some organization, and then we need to have a pastor. Now, there are times that a church goes without a pastor. Many times in churches' histories, those are tough times on churches. But yet their goal is to find a pastor. I know that we've been involved with ministries where they've gone in when a pastor has left. They've had a man go in for a few weeks to help through this transition process, help them to find a man who's going to come and be a pastor. Other churches who, I know one at church when we were on deputation, the pastor had resigned. But before he resigned, he brought another man on staff, and he talked to this man and said, I believe that God wants you to be the next pastor of the church. The church doesn't have any idea yet that I'm leaving and all of that stuff. He said, but I want you to come at least on a trial basis. And that was an act of faith for that gentleman. He left the ministry he was in with no promised guarantee that that's where he would end up. But it was interesting, after just a few weeks, the pastor's heart knit closer with him and this man with the church, and ended up an easy, nice transition. And both men are still involved in the church. The one is now the pastor, the other is a missionary out of that church. But again, there's the organized aspect of a local church. There's reasons that we have schedules. There's reasons that we have different positions. Sunday school teachers, we've got our Sunday school superintendent. Those aren't necessarily biblical offices. We'll talk about that, but it's organization. We are an organized body of baptized believers. We talked about the universal church that includes all New Testament believers, living or deceased. Some people refer to it, the Bible talks, the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. Some call it the universal church. The reality that we're all part of the body of Christ if we are what? Saved. We must be saved to be part of the body of Christ. But there is the important aspect of the local church. Some people say, well, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm saved. I don't need to belong to any local church. Well, the Bible teaches the importance of the local church. And thus, even going back to organized membership in the local church. There's reasons that we have membership in the local church. Not because we said it's best, but God's Word does teach that. We said an autonomous Baptist church chooses its own officers. We did that around Christmas time, or the beginning of the year with deacons. We did that a little over a year, year and a half ago now, for pastor. The reality that it was your guys' choice as you prayed and asked what the Lord had. It wasn't some other organization who came in. That's autonomous. Now, my plan is not to leave here. I hope I'm here for the rest of my life. But what happens if the day comes where we leave and God moves us on, or I die and there's no more, I'm not your pastor anymore? What do you do? You go on again with the process you went through, and you ask the Lord. There's that organized body. That's why even during the time when Pastor Bob had resigned, there was a pulpit committee. Just some organized attempts to bring in a man to be the pastor. And so we talk through that. Acts chapter 6, verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, the deacons. The church chose the deacons. Now, it was under the approval of the pastor. But the church did choose, and the importance of that aspect. Because, is a church deacon-run, or, I hate to even say this, is it deacon-run or pastor-run, if we're going to go between the two? Okay, because the pastor is the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ. Not because the pastor wants to be the dictator, and not because the deacons want to run the church. Now, there are churches who are deacon-run churches. Is that a biblical principle? No. I know a man who he wasn't sure of all that process and didn't realize how far the deacons had their control in the church. And man, they were telling him what he couldn't preach and what he could do and what he, and he's like, hey, God has called me to be the pastor. If I can't be the pastor, I won't be here. And sadly, I think they were only there about 6 weeks. It was a tough, sad situation. But again, that's why sometimes a slow process is helpful. In that. That's why even as we go through deacon nominations and stuff, we try to not just rush and say, hey, one Sunday we're announcing it, the next Sunday we're voting. It's a process. We want the Lord's to work. The whole process with choosing a pastor, that was a long process. Anybody agree? Right? It was long for you. It was long for us. But man, I'm so thankful it was. I'm so thankful. I believe it was a pretty smooth transition, and we're thankful for that. But watching God work in His way as the church chooses its officers. An autonomous Baptist church exercises self-judgment. What does that mean? What is judgment? Anybody know? Shaylin, I see you talking. What's it mean? What's judgment, right? Okay, you're not going to say it out loud. Okay. Judgment. What is judgment?
I would say, using the Bible, I mean, we use the Bible principles to judge whether we're in the right state of mind.
There we go. Are we right? Are we living right? When we think about a judge, how many of you have ever gone to a court? Never for yourself, of course, but always for someone else. You've gone to a courtroom, right? And there's a judge sitting up there. And the judge does what? He judges, right? Okay. What does that mean? He determines if you've done right or wrong, or whether you're guilty or not guilty, or whether whatever your consequences might be. That's what God has ordained the local church to do. We are to self-judge. 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll get to that in our study, but 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." A man found in an adulterous relationship, the church needed to deal with it. Why? Because he was a member of the local church. He wasn't just someone living outside the church and no involvement in the church. Now again, this is just another one of those reasons we see importance of membership in the local church. Church discipline. How many of you wouldn't enjoy church discipline? I wouldn't. Man, I hate church discipline. It's not fun to have to deal with that. But the point of church discipline is not to excommunicate people from amongst us, but it's so that, even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's for restoration. And here, we must self-judge ourselves. Hey, if there's something that needs to be dealt with, sin-wise, in the church, do we need to deal with it? Yeah. What about gossip? Yeah, when things are said all... Wait a second, gossip. That's something we must judge as a church. Wait a second, I need to close my mouth at times. Individually, I need to close my ears at times. Now, I'm not going to listen to that. What about the way we talk and our speech toward one another? Not just the gossip, but maybe it's harshness or not showing love. Those things as well need to be self-judged. Not just these bigger sins of fornication or adulterous relationships. We say, well, those are the big sins. Well, yeah, but God calls us to self-judge. We're to be holy. 1 Peter reminds us He's called us to be holy as He is holy. So it's not that we're up here, and it's not that my purpose and burden is to point out every sin in your life. You probably know your sin in your life that you're trying to deal with, don't you? I know what God's dealing with my life with. But the point is, man, when we don't deal with it, we want to lovingly confront, lovingly approach, self-judge our church. Within, without, not those that are without, but those that are within the church. Again, there's reasons for church membership. That's why we want to be so cautious in how, who we allow to serve in our kids' ministries or clubs or whatnot. Because if we just had anybody coming in and serving because they felt like it, without any church membership or any accountability, responsibility, where's this point of self-judgment? Well, they're not really within. And so we're cautious. Well, then you say, well, what about having missionaries? And last summer we had the Camulias in with VBS. Well, one, they're members in their own local church. I think that's an important aspect, even as we have people come in, to be a member in their local church. But then we also see there's this big vetting process, if you will. Before the Murrays came in,
Brother Ben and I talked for an hour and a half. Because I wanted to get to know him. I wanted to see, okay, so where he's involved and what he's been doing. But is this someone that we as a church family can have come and serve with us? And then, Lord willing, if God allows, as we vote next month, to serve outside in Taiwan for us. And so there's this long process. Sometimes people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, I knew a guy in college who he just jumped into a local church and a small church I was involved with during college time, and neat guy. And the church just said, well, hey, why don't you come start leading music? Why don't you come sing specials? And I mean, I didn't have any say in it. I was like, I don't know if that's very wise. Well, it was interesting. Then all of a sudden he was gone again. And so again, there's this organized aspect of a local church. And so the pastor, the deacons, and then others, church membership, there's that important aspect, because then of that self-judgment that we need to do. Matthew 18, 15 through 17, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church or assembly, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. There's the reality of confrontation. How many of you enjoy doing confrontation? Like, you like going to someone and you like telling them and having to point out something wrong. Anybody? Okay, good. I don't either. I remember when Karen was an RA in college and as a resident assistant, and she had this no fun responsibility of confronting girls at times with their dress that wasn't according to the school standards at that time where they had to be. That wasn't fun. I remember how many meals we were eating dinner and she'd have to get up and say, just a second, I'll be back. And I knew exactly what she was going to do. She never enjoyed it. Confrontation's no fun on the giving end. How many of you hate being confronted? Someone comes to you and points something out. I don't like it. But there's the important need of it in the church, isn't there? Hopefully it's never harsh. Hopefully it's always loving. But at times we need that. Hey, just want to encourage you with this. Have you thought about this? Now, who does that? Is that only for the pastor to do? No, who else needs to do it? All of us. Somebody said, me. That's it. You do. In fact, the biggest point of confrontation in the church, I don't believe, should be the pastor. I believe it should be you. We are a local church, and you have relationships with people, and man, as you encourage, hey, just have you thought about this area in your life? Man, I'm burdened for you. I want to encourage you with this. We each have that opportunity and obligation to be part of the self-judging process of our church, to make sure that, again, as individuals, we are honoring to God in our life and in caring for each other, loving each other. So many other things we could discuss dealing with that. Let's go on to the next point, though. An autonomous Baptist church owns its own property. Acts 5. Many of them sold their property and gave it to the church to distribute for the needs. And again, they didn't have to, and we could do a whole study on that, but the church owned its own property. We have seen many times in our nation when denominations have changed beliefs, and some churches of that denomination said, no, we're not going that way. We're going to split and separate from your denomination. That denomination often says, but that's our church and our land. You have to leave then. Well, they're not an autonomous church. And so in a sense, it makes sense. We are an autonomous church. No one owns our property. Except for who? Christ does, yes, ultimately. But who on earth owns our property? The members of Jeruel Baptist Church. And it's not so that you can get rich quick, right? Let's sell the property and make money. For one, not many people are interested in buying church buildings. But the reality is, it's ours. We have a spring cleanup day coming. Whose opportunity is it to take care of the building God has entrusted to Jeruel Baptist Church? Ours. What a great opportunity. And so, it's our property. The church is responsible for that. An autonomous Baptist church may create its own policies concerning use of the church buildings, different treatments of LGBTs, of registered sex offenders. Is that a big deal in our world today? Are there registered sex offenders?
Do we have an obligation and responsibility then as a church to create policies dealing with that? Well, yeah. Not that people aren't welcome, but okay, so this is how we're going to handle these situations. Because this is Christ's church, but we are responsible to Him for others around us, for the safety of our kids. Whether it's from locking the building during service times, to moving a nursery, to so many different things that we can do. Why? Because God has made us accountable to Him, but us as a church family to care about the safety of our kids and really of each other. So many different things. An autonomous Baptist church may create its own constitution. There's the constitution. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you haven't. You should if you haven't. We've got copies. We can print more out. You should have a copy of the Constitution, or at least know it or be comfortable with our church constitution, because you are part of what? Jeruel Baptist Church. There are many people who encourage us to own a copy of our own United States Constitution. Maybe some of you have a pocket copy. I know some people carry it with them everywhere they go. But the reality is, this is our church. Yes, it's Christ's church, but it's the church that He's made us part of. We should care enough to know what's going on. How do we deal with certain situations? What does our Constitution say about certain situations? There have been times that as pastor and deacons, we've referred back to the Constitution. Why? Because it's there to help us as an organized body. We're organized. We Baptists include these practices in our worship services because they're exampled in the Bible. Preaching, baptism, invitations, praying, giving, singing. All of these different aspects in our worship service. Acts 20, verse 7, the early church assembled and worshiped on Sunday. On Sunday, the first day of the week. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. In the Old Testament, teens, they worshiped on what day? The Jews. What day did the Jews worship on? Saturday. And it was called the what? The Sabbath. Well, why do we move it to Sunday, the first day of the week? Because that's when Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And Paul clearly taught that. According to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, the early church gave their offerings on what day? Sunday. They were to bring their tithes the first day of the week. They were to bring their offerings the first day of the week. Now, I'm not saying we will never go to an electronic giving. A lot of churches have done that. There can be a lot of pluses with that. But if that's something we were ever to go to, I would want us to remember giving is not just like some other bill we pay. Giving is an act of worship. When Jeff comes up on Sunday mornings to pray before the offering, and then or one of the men pray before the offering, and then we take up the offering, it's not another commercial break. When Joanne plays during the offertory, it's not just another commercial break. It's our time to lean over and talk. Now, sometimes, yeah, we've got something we need to say, but it's another act of worship. Just as much as it is singing music. Just as much as it is reading the Word of God, preaching of the Word of God, singing, praying, all these things. Offering is an act of worship. And so the early church did that. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The important reality of that. We worship on Sunday because the Lord Jesus arose from the grave. We already talked about that. But again, that's why Sunday is so important. We could look at a lot of references with that, but many of you are familiar with those already. Today, we Baptists copy the practices of the early New Testament church. Why? Because the Bible is our authority for faith and practice. So is it okay for a church to worship on Saturday evening? Yes or no? Is it okay for a church to worship on Wednesday evening? Is it okay for a church to worship on Thursday evening or Tuesday evening? Man, there are all sorts of churches that have that. But you know, the church can choose all sorts of opportunities to worship. I believe so long as Sunday is the priority. Because we can never downplay Sundays. Because it's all about Christ. In fact, we are the church of Christ. Remember, even as we've studied 1 Corinthians, the church of God at Corinth, we're His church. It's about Christ.
So that's why Sunday must be the priority. Does the Bible say we must have a Sunday evening service? One more time, please. Maybe one more time. A little louder. Okay. The Bible doesn't say that. But we do. Does that mean we're having an unbiblical practice? No. Again, we don't want to do anything because of tradition. But we don't want to jump ship from tradition because we don't want to be part of tradition. Because you set your own tradition in life. How many of you don't brush your teeth because it was always tradition, but you do it because it is now a tradition in your life, right? So we may leave some traditions and we still have tradition in our life. But we want to be cautious of what we leave from history and what has been taught. Again, I believe Sunday is a priority. Now, there are some Sundays we as a church have chosen to move up our evening service into the afternoon service. There are some Sundays throughout the year we don't have an evening service. But I believe that Sunday is a priority and must be a priority. And that's why not anytime soon are we planning on canceling a Sunday evening service. It's just another aspect that we can get together to worship the Lord. Sunday is the Lord's day. Saturday is my day. Ultimately, it's the Lord's. But I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We always want to make Sunday the priority. So yes, the church can choose a Saturday service if they want. But not just so that we can go out on the boat on Sunday morning. Oh man, if we could, can you imagine? Let's just get worship service done Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. We've got the day Saturday, we just a couple hours in the evening, and then it's all day Sunday, it's mine. The reality is, it's got to be about Christ. Sunday is the Lord's day, and a high priority of Sunday. And I appreciate that you are showing you have a high priority of the Lord's day. Now, does God understand sickness? Does God understand other situations at times that come? Yes, of course He does. But we need to make a general practice of the high priority of Sunday. Some churches use small groups instead of Sunday school classes. Is that okay? Yeah. I think there can be some dangers with it. Depending on the leaders you can find, I've heard of a number of churches who have gone to them, and man, the leaders they've had didn't know the Bible much better than those that were in their group, and so it just became a talking time, and they got nothing out of it, and okay. So, there can be helpful things with that, but at this point, we have Sunday school classes for a reason. It's not just for kids. But you believe that because you're here. So I'm preaching to the choir or something like that, right? But the reality is we need to make a high priority of the organized services of the local church. Some churches go through a lot of different issues and change different things. And ultimately, it's between that church and the Lord, right? And so that's what we've got to always remember. An autonomous Baptist church can decide when and how to worship as long as Sunday is prioritized. That's an important aspect. Choose it. Prioritize Sunday. There's some different forms of church government. We've talked somewhat about that, but again, we are talking about the autonomous local church. There's papal government, where total authority over the local churches rests in the denomination's single leader. What kind of church would practice that? The Catholic Church, right? Catholic, ultimately, the term Catholic means universal. The universal church. The Catholic Church practices that. Total authority rests in the Pope. He, the dogma of the church that he teaches and that they then go on and pass on. There's the Episcopalian form of government, where authority over local churches rests in the denomination's board of bishops. Overseer, bishop, pastor. And so there's the denomination's board of overseers. Presbyterian, where authority over local churches rests in the elders, both local and denominational central. There's a number of churches who they now have elder rule, or you've seen elders on their church website. We have deacons. Again, there we go back to the Word of God. We'll talk about our two offices as we get there. But there's some churches that practice elder rule, where they call it, again, their local elders. We can look at the terms and we could do a long study on the term of bishop, of elder, of shepherd, pastor. And those three different terms really go into one responsibility of the pastor. But some of these have taken and have been applied differently.
Presbyterian form of government. Congregational, where the authority over the local churches rests in the pastor, supported by the congregation. So an autonomous Baptist church is not subject to any hierarchy, denomination, or convention. We are a congregational ruled church. You have just as much say as who? Me. Yes, I'm your pastor, and I have an obligation and responsibility to lead the church. Lead the church in policy making, lead the church in certain decisions, or whether it's standards that we have, if you're going to serve, this is what we need. But again, it ultimately comes down to, it's our congregation rule. Why do we have these organization things? Because the local church is an organized body of local believers. An autonomous Baptist church is subject only to the Lord Jesus, who purchased it with his blood. Who purchased the local church with his blood. Jesus did that for you and me. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, the pastors, and all the flock, the congregation, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In one sense, we have a lot more responsibility then, and an incredible opportunity and obligation. Not because we have some other board outside of our church that we are accountable to and that we have to report to, but because we report to Jesus Christ. You can't get any higher than that standard. Earthly standards, earthly men that we're accountable to, are nothing as much as it's Jesus Christ. And so we as a local church are accountable directly to Jesus Christ. An autonomous Baptist church is commissioned to reproduce itself. To reproduce itself. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, sometimes we call this the Great Commission. I've heard some people, when they've talked about this passage, they've referred to it as the Great Omission. We just don't do it anymore. We should, but it's been the Great Omission of the church. But the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They were to go forth and teach, showing people how to get saved and teaching them to get saved, then baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded them. What was one of the things Jesus commanded them? To go and teach and baptize. So yes, every church has the responsibility to go and teach and baptize so that those people can go and teach and baptize to reproduce itself. Yes, locally, but I believe there's even an obligation through missions, the Bible makes it plain and clear, to go into all the world. And we can't do that right here, but we sure can. God can use us with our finances and prayers to send people, whether it's to Uganda or Taiwan or Spain or Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, Portugal, Germany. I mean, the list goes on where we do support and where we can't support. But we need to reproduce ourselves, not just as we did, as the Lord used you guys to do with Pleasant Lake Baptist Church years ago. Where does God want us to go next? Yes, in foreign missions, but are there some other churches within our hour and a half radius or more that sure could use some help? Yes, there are. And how does God want us to reproduce ourselves and help those churches reproduce themselves, to strengthen those churches to do the work of Christ in their area? We have a responsibility as a Baptist church. We're commissioned by Jesus Christ to reproduce ourselves. It was interesting as we traveled on deputation. Of course, as many of you are familiar, as we traveled, we were headed to Los Angeles to do what? Plant a church. But one of the things that the Lord really impressed on my heart was the incredible need of church dying churches throughout America. Or struggling churches. How many churches within an hour and a half radius of us have a pastor who has to work full-time or part-time or most of the time? How many of those churches, maybe they're able to support their pastor, but man, nobody in the church is really being involved. How can we help some of these churches and pastors? We can. Yes, we need to be strong here and reproduce ourselves here. Does God want Jerusalem Baptist Church to grow spiritually? Does God want Jerusalem Baptist Church to grow numerically? He does. I'm convinced of it. Again, we're talking more about that on Sunday evenings. We just started that last Sunday evening. But the reality is, how does God want us to be involved with other churches? Baptist churches, like-minded churches, yes. But to reproduce. We are not commissioned by God to reproduce a denomination, but local churches who are accountable to Jesus Christ. So in summary, an autonomous Baptist church owns, controls, and perpetuates itself. Do you remember the rites when they were here? And as he shared with us, my mind is blank of the guy's name who they sent off to his own area. Jeff, do you remember his name? Did it start with an M? Anyway, there was the one man they sent back. He was his assistant pastor, and they sent him out to perpetuate that local church and that area. And man, when they can leave one area with a church that has a national person as a pastor, right there, the church's responsibility is to own, control, and perpetuate. As much as we get involved in giving to our missionaries, those churches, the church in Spain where the Sagrados are, financially, as we were able to get involved helping with some of the soundproofing project of their auditorium. Is that our church and our soundproofing stuff? No, we gave that to that church to reproduce itself over there. God wants us as autonomous Baptist churches to lead for Christ where we are and to be involved in other areas. So if it's our responsibility, yes, to own, but to control this organized local assembly, my question to you is, one, are you part of it? Are you a member here? If not, why not? Have you considered it? And if you are, what are you doing to be involved and say, man, this is the church God has called me to be part of. I'm going to be part of this organized body, not just showing up. Maybe there's some other ways behind the scenes. Maybe there's some other ways that God wants to use you to serve in the church that He has ordained. Excuse me. Let's serve Him this week. You take your responsibility. The exciting thing about an autonomous Baptist church is we have responsibilities. And we get to serve the Lord. Jeff, would you close us in prayer?